श्री गुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदमयं ददाति स्वापतन्तिकम्। वन्देहं श्रीगुरौ श्रीयुधापतकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजातां सहकना रघुनाथं विधां ठं सचिवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदां सहकना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नमा ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नाम्ने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी अश्चर्यदेशतारिणे वंशकल्पतरूप्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां भावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनाबन्धु जगत्पते कोपेशा गोपिका खण्ड राधाखण्ड नमोस्तुते। तप्तकंचन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। श्रीकृष्णा चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्ण। Beautiful to see all of you. I am deeply grateful for this opportunity to be with all of you today, especially I am happy to see the very auspicious blessings of Krishna and all the devotees showering upon our Brindamanjari Devi and Jai Shank Ji. That is why we have come. In the Vedic or Bhakti tradition, a celebration is centered around compassion for the people we're celebrating and invoking the blessings of the Lord to help them to overcome all of the inevitable obstacles that come in our life. My beloved Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, he would have us chant a particular sloka. At times when there was some samskaras or vows being taken. Om apavitra pavitrova sarvavastam gatopiva yasmare pundarikaksham sabhayabhyantarasuchi. Whether one is pure or impure, or even having passed through all situations of life, one who remembers the beautiful lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is purified both within and without. It is this purification that is the purpose of human life, and therefore the goal of everything we do within this human life. Our occupation, our initiation into spiritual vows, marriage, education. The Bhagavad Purana tells us that whatever we do, if it doesn't help us to develop a taste for hearing about the Supreme Lord and remembering the Supreme Lord, then shrama eva hi kevalam. It's a waste of time. Death is not usually a subject that people talk about at marriage ceremonies. But if you ask a swami to speak, you have to be prepared for anything. Because swami means one who's socially dead. Death is not a depressing subject. It's an enlivening subject. It's inevitable, and it could happen to anyone at any moment. But the beauty of death, it is the purpose of death is to help us to take life seriously. Knowing that eventually everything and everybody is going to be taken away, what is our goal? Who am I? And what's really important? In the age of Kali, marriage is promoted as the coming together of two people on the basis of love. It is important we understand what real love is. Love is unselfish, unmotivated by any egoistic interests, The Srimad Bhagavatam tells what is love. Sabai pung sang paro dharma yato bhakti radhokshitya hoitaki aprati hata yayatma suprasidati. The supreme dharma for everyone, whoever we may be, is to awaken the dormant love that is within our heart for God. And that love is expressed through seva or through service. And service is only satisfying to the heart and to the soul and to God to the degree that service is unmotivated by any selfishness or egoism and uninterrupted by any situation within this that may come before us in this world. If there's anything we can expect, it's the unexpected. Because that's the way the world works. It places dualities, pleasure, pain, honor, dishonor, happiness, distress, success, failure, victory, defeat, health, disease, meeting, separation. Love transcends dualities because it's based on an eternal principle. The principle of the eternal soul's relationship with Bhagavan or Krishna. And when we speak about the love of marriage from a spiritual perspective, that love is something very beautiful and very real. When our relationship is centered around our joint service to Krishna, to God. The proper understanding from a spiritual perspective is to transcend the misconceptions of I and mine. These two ideas are the very foundational basis of all the attachments that cause suffering. Jai Shankh, today, in a few minutes, you're going to be a married man. Please try to understand Brinda Manjari is not simply your wife. She is Krishna's beloved child. She is the sacred daughter of the Supreme Lord. Eternally. And at the time of marriage, the understanding is that Krishna is personally and directly through the parents of the child, of the wife, entrusting this girl under your care. She's not there for you to enjoy. She's there for you to protect and care for. And to love in that spirit. And then, actually, you enjoy. But the enjoyment is not based on selfish ego. It's based on truth. It's based on the awakening of the soul. To honor, to respect one's wife is dharma. Modern society, even in India, after studying Vedas and traveling the world, I've come to see that India has the deepest, richest, most scientific, profound, and philosophical spiritual culture. But when traditions become polluted and perverted by ego, India could be some of the crudest, most animalistic, and wretched people I've ever seen are people who represent so-called Sanatan Dharma in India. Because they take something so beautiful and they use it for something that's opposing the true spirit. The culture of India, the basis of all true spiritual traditions, is that love means to serve. It doesn't mean to control. It doesn't mean to exploit. It means to see the wife as the sacred daughter of God entrusted in your care. And that means to protect, to inspire the wife physically by providing bodily needs, security, emotionally, through giving appreciation, encouragement, and affection, and spiritually, by living with such integrity and giving such a good spiritual example that you give happiness and joy on all those levels. And by doing so, it becomes Grihastha Ashram. That means the home is an ashram. It's a place for spiritual cultivation. And Vrinda Mantari Devi, same principle applies to the girl. It's not that Jai Shank is simply your husband. He is Krishna's sacred beloved son, being entrusted in your care to encourage him, to inspire him. Sometimes he's up, sometimes he's down. Inspire him and protect him physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Physically by, according to what duties you agree on, by keeping the home a very, very sanctified, lovely place for spiritual cultivation. By providing nice prasad, emotionally, by appreciating, by encouraging, and spiritually by keeping the home a very, very sanctified spiritual atmosphere. And by sharing as a team, as a partnership, service to Guru and Krishna. Marriage becomes a spiritual partnership where two bodies actually become one in spirit, one in purpose. And the purpose, Samsidhir Haritoshanam, to please Krishna, to make the world a better place by helping the blessings and the grace of Krishna to affect more and more people's lives. And by Krishna's grace, when you have children, the principle applies even more so. It's not my children. It's Krishna's children. Being entrusted in your care. And when the two of you live in such beautiful harmony with each other, based on these higher principles, then you create such an environment at home that your children will naturally be inclined and facilitated to love Krishna. The fruit of a good tree is very, very sweet. And similarly, when the relationship between husband and wife is rooted in these divine principles, then the service you render and the children that you produce will be very sweet. And Krishna will enjoy. And everyone will enjoy. These two families, very special. I'd like to speak something about Vrindamantri's family because I have known them for so long. This is a special day for me, I must say. As far as I could remember, when Vrindamantri Devi was born, we gave her name, and she was about 6 months old. We gave her her first grains, and when she was naughty, I played with her. And when she wasn't naughty, I played with her. That's all I ever did, is play with her. And whenever it was difficult, I just gave her back to her parents. Swami life is very nice. And I found that Vrindamantri throughout her life had such natural, spontaneous devotion. And even living, growing up, becoming a teenager in a city like Mumbai, where there are so many distractions. Whatever little distractions were there were very superficial, because she had such a strong and deep spiritual foundation. And we owe an eternal debt to her family for creating that spiritual foundation. There is her uncle, Mahaprabhu. Incredible personality. There was an enormous crisis at the Radharas Bihari temple in Mumbai, where some of the leading devotees there were being brought to court on false charges of murder. And they needed the best possible lawyer. And this Mr. Maheshwari, he was brought in. And in order to try to defend the case for these people in jail, he wanted to understand what they believed in. And by the end of the case, he was a devotee. And he dovetailed all of his potencies as an advocate to advocate Krishna. And had incredible impact. And Srinathji, who is in the front row here, was right there with Mahaprabhu from the very beginning. And Palika, their beautiful children, Shamadasi, Giri Govardhan, Mukunda Prabhu, Rohini Nandan Prabhu, brothers. Mahaprabhu affected them with bhakti in a very powerful way. And from the beginning, Rohini Nandanji, you have been such a beloved, exemplary, and wonderful human being and devotee. Compassion, integrity, hardworking, very intelligent, very soft-hearted. And he was married to Devi Priya. What's the other name? Devayani? Something I remember. Not long ago, Baladev and Brinda Manjari, they arranged for a marriage anniversary for their mother and father. I believe it was 25 years. And hundreds of devotees came. It was a major celebration. We were all celebrating our own good fortune for having the association of these wonderful souls. We were celebrating the blessings that Krishna had showered upon them and celebrating the beautiful things they've done for the world. So Brinda Manjari, from your earliest babyhood, you were brought to this world to love God and to serve God. And you have done so in such a beautiful and pleasing way. And we thank you for this. And in reciprocation for the goodness of your heart and the sincerity of your spirit of devotion, Krishna has brought you to the care of Jai Shankar Prabhu. Just by looking at him, it's so reassuring that our little daughter is in good hands. And we can understand a tree by its fruit, so by knowing you, we can understand your mother and father. Yogesh and Sheetal Gupta. We wish to thank you for bringing this son into the world and making him who he is, and also for being accepting to be a part of this beautiful spiritual family. In India, there's the joint family system. But Jai Shank, today you are marrying into a family of hundreds and hundreds who consider Brinda Manjari their daughter, their sister, and their friend. Rohini Nandan, over the years, has always exhibited a very special devotion to Lord Ramchandra. For those of you who remember the old dramas we would have, he would always have produced and directed a drama on Sri Ram. And sometimes you were Ram and sometimes you were Lakshman. Huh? Sometimes you were Ravana. Yes. You were more convincing as Ram, actually. So the beautiful story of Ram and Sita. Ram and Sita taught the world how to live as ideal people for the highest purpose. Ram was the ideal son. His dedication to sustain the integrity and the fame of his father, Dasarath. He was willing to give up everything for that. He was the ideal brother, his relationship with Bharat and Lakshman, the ideal friend to Jatayu, to Guha Maharaj, the ideal master to Hanuman, the ideal disciple to Vishwamitra, Vashishta, and he was an ideal husband to Sita. Sita was banished to the forest, and to protect his wife, Ram was willing to fight one of the greatest historical world wars just to protect and encourage his wife Sita. That selfless spirit of devotion is what Ram taught is the duty of a husband. And similarly, Sita exhibited the true qualities of a wife. When Lord Ram was being banished from Ayodhya, he instructed his wife Sita to remain under the care of his mother and father. But she insisted to go with him. This was unimaginable to Sri Ram. How is it possible? You have been born a princess in beautiful palaces. If you come with me, you will be living in the forest. Your roof will be the stars in the sky. You've slept on soft beds with silken sheets. With me, you will live on the hard, cold ground with dry leaves as your mattress. You've eaten the finest foods. If you come, you'll only be eating raw roots and herbs from the ground, if we can find them. You've been protected by armies. If you come to the forest with me, there will be snakes, lions, tigers, leopards, poisonous snakes, mosquitoes, man-eating rakshasas. You've been wearing the finest clothes. If you come with me, you'll be wearing the coarse bark of trees. Think about it. When we listen to these stories, we gain the greatest benefit when we actually personally identify with them. This is real. Sita was being asked to wear tree bark for 14 years. Now, all of you ladies, I'm not going to ask whether you would do it or not. But just imagine wearing tree bark, eating roots and herbs, and sleeping on the ground in a forest for 14 years. Ram was willing to do it for his father, and Sita was willing to do it for Ram. Ram told Sita, no, you cannot go. Impossible. She cried and she pleaded. And ultimately, her convincing argument was this: on the day of my marriage, my father made a vow before God that I would be at your side through good times and bad times, through the easy prosperity and the most difficult challenges. I would share your life with you. You cannot make my father a liar. I am going with you. And Ram smiled, and he said, please come. This is the real spirit of marriage. Sometimes the festivities of marriage, which are nice, they cause us to forget the real meaning of marriage. The festivities have deep meaning when they actually bring people to focus on prayer and blessings for the couple who are getting married. And so much of the ritual and celebration of marriage historically and traditionally is really meant for the husband and wife who are taking vows to take this relationship very, very deeply serious. If all of our relatives and all of our friends and everyone else is taking it so serious through this celebration, how we have to take it very, very serious. Romance comes and goes, but a sense of dedication and responsibility to each other and for the duties that we share is what attracts the grace of God. And through that dedication and commitment to the responsibilities we share, which very prominently includes being kind and affectionate to each other and giving very, very sincere spiritual example to each other, it creates real love. It's real love. Love of the soul between the husband and the wife. And it is that type of love that nourishes, like the water of the Ganges, our love for Krishna. And together as a team, we become instruments of that love, Krishna's love, for the whole world. We are all very, very happy for both of you. I offer my sincerest gratitude for your example and for all the wonderful things that I know you will do together. I close this little speech of mine by requesting all of the assembled friends, family, and devotees to sincerely bless Jai Shankh and Brinda Manjari, pray for Krishna's blessings upon them by crying out from our heart or hearts the holy names. Please raise your arms. This is the meditation we're going to do. Raise your arms, and we're going to loudly call out this Maha Mantra, invoking Sri Sri Radha Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, to shower their most intimate loving blessings I don't know when you're going to have an event like this for these two people again, so it should be something that's unforgettable. This is a once-in-a-lifetime experience for them, so let's make it something very, very sacred. Raise your arms very high, and from your heart of hearts, cry out for Radha and Krishna and Srila Prabhupada's blessings to shower upon them, to empower them, inspire them, and protect them, to live together with great happiness in the loving service of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Much louder, please. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And we'll do one more time, very, very loudly. Great. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. I thank you very much.